This is a WATD Political Forum on 95.9 WATD. Online at 95.9WATD.com. Now, live from Studio B, here's your moderator, WATD's Christine James.
Good evening and welcome to a WATD Political Forum. I am your moderator, Christine James, and I'm joined by reporter Charles Mathewson. Hello.
Hello,
and Art Egerton of Pembroke Town News.
Hello.
Asking a question. How are you?
Good
to see you. But of course, the most important people here are the three candidates joining us in studio, Tracy Marino, Richard Flynn, and Fraser Townley. Thanks so much for joining us. We have our engineer, Larry Nelson, and timing you over there is Lenny Rowe. He is the gentleman with the green, red, and yellow construction paper that you remember from grade school. It works so well. Now we use those as visual cues. Green means go. Yellow means you have 10 seconds, and red means stop. If you're still speaking, when you see the red paper, it's a 5-second grace period, and then you get the bell, and then you get your mic cut. We try to keep it very, very tight with timing. You have 2 minutes for your intro, a minute for your closing statement, and when we ask questions, you have a minute to answer unless I say, I'll give you another 30 seconds or I want to do a follow-up question. But that's the way we try to do it with the answers, and we try to make sure that everybody gets a chance to speak uninterrupted and answer the questions. We've asked the candidates to have opening and closing statements prepared. Letting you know, this is live here on WATD. This will be up on our website later on tonight, and you'll be able to hear snippets of this during tomorrow morning's drive newscast and also at noon. Now, we chose the names very unscientifically a short while ago by pulling them out of the WATD fill-in newsroom koozie because the old one still remains stolen. And Tracy Marino will be first, Richard Flynn second, Fraser Townley third. We reverse that order at the end. So let's get started with opening statements and begin with Tracy Marino. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you, WATD, for hosting and inviting us here tonight. I would like to start by introducing myself. My name is Tracy Marino, and I'm running for one of two open seats on the Pembroke Select Board. I have lived in Pembroke for about 25 years with my husband, Phil, and our five children. My two youngest are still in students here in our schools. I work as a bus driver for First Student, driving Pembroke and Silver Lake students, and have run a small business of my own for about 12 years here in town. I just recently began work as a substitute paraprofessional in our schools. I have been a committed and dedicated resident to our community, serving on multiple boards and committees, such as the Bryanfield PCMS PTOs, Pembroke Education Foundation, Open Space Committee, Friends of the Library, Pembroke Watershed, amongst others. I also volunteer regularly throughout town, helping with Meals on Wheels, Pembroke Celebrates, tree lightings, etc. I have found that my volunteer work has allowed me a unique insight and relationship with our many different populations in Pembroke. It is important to me to figure out what I can personally accomplish for the betterment of the community. In the past 3 years, I have hosted Narcan trainings with our Pembroke Police Department and PCO, organized Mental Health Resource Fair along with Pembroke CPAC, established a group for the Return of Our Earth Day annual cleanup days, began organizing and running babysitting services at town meetings, created a trail stewardship program for our open spaces, and I'm just tying up details organizing a yearly fifth grade town government field trip. Since joining the Select Board, I feel like we have accomplished many things as a board despite the rocky start with the complications from COVID. We have a new community center / council on aging building being built after many years of discussions. We have a long sought after road management plan in place, and we have recently seated a master plan committee to begin the work of creating an updated document to guide us as a town in our long-term planning. There is always and still more work to do, and I would very much like to continue to be part of that process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the opening statement from Tracy Marino. Now we're going to go to Richard Flynn.
Hi, thank you for having this important forum, and thank you for inviting me. My name is Richard Flynn. I'm excited to be running for selectman in the great town of Pembroke. My wife Raquel and I are thrilled to call it our home. Getting elected is an honor bestowed upon a citizen, and it basically states that you have earned the right to lead. Therefore, it's very important to know who you are electing rather than finding out who you elected. Most times you are the only voice for the constituents, and with this becomes tremendous responsibilities and difficult decisions. You are trusted to navigate the direction of our town and preserve the character for the next generation. As a small business owner, you develop certain survival skills needed to run a successful business. You develop a watchful eye and fundamentals. Are we working efficiently? Where can we improve? And most importantly, are our clients happy? As a former selectman, I was able to build relationships that opened up communications with people to strategize problem solving and establish efficiencies. And as a parent, we worry about the town may look like for the next generation. I hope to be that person people look to for making tough decisions that benefit Pembroke taxpayers. Thank you for listening and I appreciate your vote, May 13th.
Thank you. That was Richard Flynn, the opening statement. Now let's go to Fraser Townley.
Hi there. Thank you, WATD, and hello, residents of Pembroke. My name is Fraser Townley, and I'm running for one of two open positions on the select board. I've been a resident of the town for over 21 years, and I've been a Pembroke scout leader, a Pembroke youth soccer coach, and have a global business based in Pembroke. I'm passionate about improving our town, and I believe that I can make a positive difference. I want to ensure that Pembroke is a safe and secure place for all residents. This means investing in our police department, fire department, the emergency services to ensure that we have the resources that they need to keep our community safe. We must also work to improve our infrastructure, including our roads and public buildings. For this reason, I will vote to support the public safety building project at next week's town meeting. I believe we must also invest in our schools to ensure that our children receive a high-quality education. This means working with our teachers, administrators, and the parents to ensure that our schools have resources they need to provide the best possible education and further education for our children. We must also ensure that our schools are safe and welcoming places for all students, regardless of their background. For this reason, I will vote to support the committee to explore the VOTEC at next week's town meeting. I believe that we must work to attract new businesses to Pembroke to create jobs and stimulate economic growth. This means working with local businesses, entrepreneurs, and community leaders to create the supportive environment for small businesses to thrive. We must also work to attract larger businesses to our town, creating jobs and generating revenue for our community. I believe we must preserve and protect the natural beauty of our town. This means working to protect our wetlands, woodlands, ponds, and open spaces, as well as promoting sustainable practices to ensure that our town remains a beautiful place for generations to come. In conclusion, I'm committed to working tirelessly to improve our town and to make it a better place for everyone.
Oh, that was Fraser telling me.
Sorry, I thought I was kidding. It would run the clock out.
And people are afraid of this bell. It kind of keeps things moving. Okay, let's start with questions for the candidates. Charles Mathewson.
Now, I would like you to think about the past and the future. In the past, for decades, Pembroke argued with itself over the community center. I was a young reporter when that argument began. It's probably cost more than was necessary with all the delay. Pembroke was late to come up with the pavement management plan. Other towns have come up with it way before Pembroke has. And that delay has cost money. That's the past. In the future, what would you do to avoid these costly planning mistakes? Let's start with Tracy.
I think that both of those things have been a long time coming. They've been kicked down the road a long time. Between both of them, I think one of the biggest problem solvers is going to be having this master plan committee in place. We just seated the master plan committee. We haven't had one, I believe, since 2004. I think that having this group together, and we've been working on discussions in the beginning. Sorry, back up a little bit. I think the master plan committee is going to be important because we haven't had this document in place for a very long time, and we really need something that's going to provide a little bit of guidance for long-term planning. We have the town manager who's relatively new to our community, who started about right when I actually joined about 3 years ago. And I think between the master plan document and working with the town manager who's been prioritizing these things, I think we're looking forward to. Sorry.
Okay. Remember, too, if you feel like you didn't get everything in that you wanted to say during one of these answers, you can always put that in your closing statement, unless you have a follow-up question. Charles?
No.
Or Tracy? Okay.
Rich, what about planning for the future?
I agree. The master plan is essential. Communication is key also. We needed to look at what our needs are in town and establish a plan for those. And ideally, you'd like to do a large project every 6 to 7 years, but a lot of this has been kind of kicked down the road, including the roads. We haven't spent enough money on it. And I don't think the communication was there in the past. I'm not talking about the current board. I'm talking about the many years that maybe they said, okay, well, maybe next year, or it didn't go through in town meeting, and we're starting to see the result of that. Our roads are they're atrocious, and people driving through them comment all the time. I've knocked on over 100 doors, and the items that people talk about are roads, the quality of the water. They do talk about the community center and how that's going, and you know, they have thoughts about the public safety building, mostly positive.
Fraser, how do we make the same mistakes?
So I think the people that have been on these boards, they've had great visions for the town, but for some reason it wasn't communicated properly or it wasn't accepted by the town. It's the town that vote against these projects going forward. You know, we looked at previously having the community center and the public safety buildings all combined into one. That fell apart. Had we gone forward with that, we probably could have spent half of what we're spending on today's just the public safety buildings. So, you know, there have been some missteps. We have to communicate better with the town, and we have to engage better with the community.
Okay. Or
question for the candidates?
Not quite ready yet.
Okay. There's aging schools in the town: North Pembroke Elementary, Pembroke Community Middle School, and Pembroke High School. Is there a plan in place to take care of these buildings? And should there be a plan in place to take care of these buildings? We just talked about kicking items down the road. Let's start with you, Fraser.
Well, first of all, I don't agree with kicking things down the road. If the town has an issue, it has to be addressed. As far as the schools are concerned, if we're planning the town properly, we should be increasing the amount of students that are going into these schools, because we should be growing our housing base, and that housing base should be going to people with families. So right now, the current schools, I think there is a management plan for maintaining them, but I don't think the plan should be to see them declining. It should be to see them growing.
Okay. Same question, Rich Flynn.
Capital improvement has not been a strong point in Pembroke for many years, and we really need to maintain these large expenses that we have to make every 8 or so years, and including the schools. And I've been in the schools, and they're not being kept up. I've talked to a janitor or two who has some concerns about maybe where we are kicking the can down the road again. And that needs to be looked at, and especially this summer when the kids leave school and the teachers are gone. I'd like to go through the schools and find out what we really need and prolong building another school if we could.
Okay. Tracy, what do you think about the situation with the schools?
I'm going to again return to the Master Plan Committee. I should mention that I'm the Select Board appointee on that committee, so I get very excited about discussing. We have talked about the schools actually a lot. One of our school committee members sits on that board with us. We did a tour a couple weeks ago just to kind of get more of an idea for those of us who don't know, who haven't been in the schools. And I think it just all comes back to long-term planning. We can't just build something with no plan that it's ever going to be maintained or that it's never going to need to be revisited. And I think the long-term planning and capital planning is key.
You're listening to a political forum here on WATD. The race is for the Pembroke Select Board. We have the three candidates here: Tracy Marino, Richard Flynn, and Fraser Townley. Now let's go to Art Egerton from Pembroke Town News. Questions for the candidates.
As we all know, Pembroke has a lot of open spaces and nice parks. Can you tell me, Richard, first, what's your favorite place in town to relax and hang out?
Olden Pond. I lived in Hanson, and I had a boat on Olden Pond. And I think it's one of the best ponds in town. And I mean, that immediately comes to mind. But we do have some pretty good parks that are well maintained, some maybe not. But that's my initial.
Tracy?
Well, I live on Stetson Pond, so I do spend a lot of time on Stetson. But if we were talking about more of an open space area, I would probably say Tubbs Meadow. I like the trails over there. And I'm also going to quickly share about Laggy Preserve. It's a new property, kind of newish property that we have in Pembroke across from the Herring Run. A past resident had sold it to the town, and we are in the process of turning it into a preserve, actually. The house came down, a couple of the buildings that were on the property just came down, and we're looking forward to creating some trail networks over there and possibly a community garden if all goes well. And it would actually be a nice place to kind of bring out the fish fry that we have every year kind of across the street with parking and different events over there.
Charles Matthewson?
I don't think you...
Oh, I'm Fraser. Sorry. Oh. I'm sorry. See, I got ahead of myself here.
Hot
sorry,
break.
Fraser.
I have several, actually. So we walk our dog at Willowbrook, which has it's a fabulous walk all throughout the seasons. We paddleboard at Oldham Pond. We are regulars at the Herring Run. And I quite like my backyard, actually. So.
Okay, thank you.
Now Charles Matthewson.
Thank you.
Okay.
So we have brown water, roads that need repair, that finally there's a pavement management plan for. That's a very good idea. But to get the roads up to being able to routinely manage them is going to cost some money. The community center is underway. You may have a public safety building. It's all very expensive. How are you going to pay for it? Let's start with Rich this time.
Well, it is unfortunate that a lot of this is coming up all at once. It's not the way you want to plan a town, and especially with taxes as they are. How are we going to pay for it? I mean, it's going to come out of taxes, but you know, I'd also like to look at some cost-saving ideas in the town and make that part of our decision-making and moving forward, but always having that watchful eye on the taxpayers' money and how we can save money. And there's a lot of ways that we can do that. There's a lot of towns that have some cost-saving ideas that are working, and I think we could look at those.
Like what?
Well, for instance, it's one thing that a lot of companies doing now is if you have an employee that may have a wife or a husband on another insurance plan, we might be able to give that person a stipend if they jump over to their spouse's plan, and that would save a significant amount of money. We spend over $900,000 on health care.
Fraser, how are we going to pay for it all?
Well, so the roads and the water have already had budgets, and they've had grants and monies, and that should be in the process of being paid for. That's being covered. With the public safety building, that's going to increase taxes, absolutely. By the time the building's finished, there will be savings from some of the school roofing loans that we've taken out. So that's going to reduce those taxes down. And if we're building the town, we're putting 170-odd units up at the golf course. There's 67 units going in the town center. When one of the churches comes down and the fire station comes down, there's an opportunity to put more units there. This is going to generate revenue. And I don't know the figures, but we should be able to get to a net zero.
Actually, residential units have a net expense to a town. Do you see any commercial development?
What we need to be developing more, as I said in my opening statement, we need to be attracting more businesses. We don't have a car dealership or a significant car dealership in this town. Where do we buy our furniture from? Where do we buy our clothes from? We're taking all of this revenue and taking it out of town. We can be attracting and should be attracting these businesses. Now, I understand there are issues with attracting large companies to the town because of the town sewerage situation, and it's but. We need to work harder in improving the businesses.
Tracy Marino, how do you pay for it all?
Well, like Richard alluded to, it's unfortunate that these have all kind of come up at the same time. I think it's the unfortunate result of not a lot of long-term planning in the past. I think I think grants is an important piece of this. There's been a lot of conversation that we don't necessarily see or find all the grants that we have access to or apply for them. We talked a lot about having yearly or annual grant reports shared with us so that we know that everything's being touched base upon, building a better relationship with our state reps so that we know that we're accessing and that they're advocating for us for all the funds that we can actually find. Another thing is revenue. Not only are we trying to just save money, but we do need to build up our revenue. I do think it's more about the small businesses and bringing in those small businesses to stay. We have a nice small town. It's the perfect place for a small business. We have the whole industrial area, like half of the units over there are empty. I really think it's about generating more revenue.
Thank you.
Two buzzwords that always come up during every political forum we sponsor, whether it's a select board, a congressional seat, state rep, transparency, and economic development. Seems to be a lot of talk about it. I'm not sure how much actually happens. So this is a two-minute question. First, I want you to tell me if you think there's enough transparency in your local town government. And second, economic development. Give me something real that you would do to bring in more business in town. Let's start with you, Tracy. Do you think there's enough transparency in town government? You got a minute for that.
I think that could always be improved, same as communication. We have so many avenues to bring forth communication to our residents, and do we necessarily utilize everything to the best of our ability? I think we can improve that. I think our website needs updating. I think that it would be the most fabulous thing if we had a dedicated communications person, which we do not have. I think some of my suggestions in the past were maybe the town manager has a social media page where he shares up-to-date information with everybody. I know social media isn't the only place people get information, but it does seem to be the majority at this point, but also still being able to send out emails directly to folks. I don't think it's a bad idea to get back to posting physical forms and flyers for people to access in the Council on Aging and the over 55 housing. Just not everybody has access to electronic means, but we could always do better with transparency.
Okay, what about economic development? Give me a concrete idea for bringing more business into Pembroke.
I think it's going to be key to move forward with Peter Brown, Chamber of Commerce. They seem to kind of go a little bit quiet for a while. I think that they've kind of reinvigorated themselves, and they really have been awesome about being in touch and speaking with different small businesses, having get-togethers, networking. And I think that because they talk with them so much, there needs to be more of a town and chamber kind of relationship, I guess I would say. I think that working directly with them, maybe bringing in businesses to talk to the select board about what they have in town, just building up that relationship. I think it's scary for some business owners to come into the town and apply for things or ask questions. I just think that building up that relationship between town and chamber and the small businesses would be very helpful.
And of course, tonight's forum is sponsored by the Chamber.
And I forgot their name. I'm sorry.
Chamber of Commerce. Same two-part question. Let's start with you, Fraser. Transparency in town government. Do you think there's enough of it? Does there need to be more of it?
I actually think the town of Pembroke is very transparent if you know where to look. So if you ask the right questions, you get the right answers. Mm-hmm. I think we have a problem with communication. Tracy's touched on it. The website is not very navigable, if that's a word in English. It's not intuitive. So getting the information, there's Rich and Tracy, we're on the campaign trail right now, and you speak to people, and they're surprised by a lot of things that you have to tell them. And where did you hear that from? Where am I going to get that? I made a mistake myself, not believing the water was as bad as other people in town have found, because where I am, it's fine. So it's the transparency. I don't believe it's not transparent, but it's not clear. It's okay. Transparent, okay. If you ask the right questions.
Okay.
It is a bit muddy, yeah.
Part two, economic development. Give me a concrete or real idea for bringing more business into the town.
I think we have to work harder with the communication with the residents of town. We've had many, many opportunities to bring big activities to the town, and the town have turned it down. Look at the big Y. That was rejected by the town, and that would have brought jobs and not huge prosperity, but it would have brought revenue to the town. And we rejected it. So that's part of the problem. Bringing in companies and working hard with the Chamber of Commerce and company or organizations like the NFIB, which I'm a member of, you know, you can talk to these large companies and make the town more attractive, but you've also got to get the residents to agree to it.
Same question. First, do you think there's enough transparency in Pembroke town government?
There's never enough, really, in any small government. What happens is a lot of people are working day-to-day, you know, at the town manager's office or the water department or wherever, and they kind of get caught up in their work, and they forget that they need to let the public know exactly what they're doing and why they're doing it. And that's where you lose communication, and that's where people get a little disinterested and distrustful with town government, and I don't think they do it on purpose. It's just more of a inner circle group there, and I think they could probably every once in a while just think that maybe we should convey what we're doing and why we're doing it and what the future plans are, and I think that calms some nerves when it comes to town meeting when things come up, and people aren't shocked to hear about what things might cost.
What about economic development in the town? What's a good concrete idea for bringing some new business in?
We need to develop. We need to start a industrial development committee and take a look at some of these properties in town. And because there's still a lot of large parcels in town that could be very attractive to certain businesses. We got to identify where they are, what businesses would work well there, and then solicit out and find out if businesses are interested in coming in. And some of these parcels are pretty close to the highway, so they are attractive. I think that a committee should be set up and look at these parcels before they're gone, before they become residential. Mm-hmm. And then maybe we can look at our bylaws and we can make it a little easier for them to come in.
We're going to take a quick break here and go to some commercials. Again, remember, this forum is being sponsored by the Pembroke Chamber of Commerce. We'll be back right after this.
Each year, about 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced Cancer Care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
The Pembroke Chamber of Commerce works with all types of businesses to improve the living standard for everyone in the town. Pembroke is a great place to work, live, do business, and start a new business. Let the community get to know you by joining the Pembroke Chamber now. Go to pembrokechamber.org to find out more. And while you're there, take a moment to check out their members and local business listings and help support local businesses and restaurants. That's pembrokechamber.org.
WATD's Political Forum continues. Now, back to Studio B. Here's your moderator, Christine James.
We are back in Studio B. Thank you again. The race is for the Pembroke Select Board. We have the three candidates here, Tracy Marino, Richard Flynn, and Fraser Townley, all vying for that 2 seats on the board. Now, let's go to Art Egerton. Questions for the candidates here.
Tracy, you talked about the municipal plan that they're developing. Besides the DPW possible building that's coming up, is there anything else that any big projects that you see?
Master plan?
Yes.
We'd literally just been seated about a month ago, so we're just in the very beginnings of this committee. We've already talked about the schools. We've talked a lot about what's going to happen with the empty buildings. So if the Council on Aging is moving into the community center, that building is going to be empty. We already have the Hatch building that's empty. Police and fire will be empty. And I feel like there was one other one. So we've talked a lot about like what kind of possibilities those could have. There's been some talk about maybe the Hatch building is, and again, this is just conversation, maybe it's the transitional program from Pembroke High School moves in there, as which is the 18 to 22 special ed kids. So maybe they move in there, or maybe the PACE program from the high school has a program in there as well, is able to extend out there and offer something. The schools have been a topic of conversation as well. Same as before, the library, a lot of people think it's very new and it's actually not. It has had a lot of structural issues. So all of these buildings have been regularly discussed in the last few weeks.
Richard, same question. Do you see any projects that are coming up that need to be considered?
Yeah, like you said, the DPW building is it's in tough shape. I mean, if that was privately owned, it'd be condemned. I was down there. The building's falling apart. It's tough to heat. We can't house some of the equipment. It's left outside year round. These are investments that we make that we need to protect, and that needs to be looked at, and it needs to be redesigned. And you know, I think tax wise, we might want to do that in a phase one, phase two, and phase three to kind of soften the blow on the taxpayer.
Fraser. Do you know of any projects that you think should be in the upcoming layout of the town?
I'm not as privy as Tracy, but I would certainly say the DPW building needs to be tackled. We also have all of these buildings that are now going to become vacant once the community center opens. So there's a lot of properties that we need to have a plan for.
How do we pay for this?
Well, there's a way to, I don't know if we can privatize some of these. I know the fire station that's closing down, there is a plan to demolish that and sell that land as either for businesses or for real estate. So, you know, the select board and the town have to plan through what they're doing with their assets.
Okay.
Charles Mathewson, questions for the candidates?
Quick, what's Article 12 in the town meeting?
Who's first?
Come on, Article 12.
Anybody want to raise your hand?
No. It's the so-called MBTA communities.
Oh.
Yeah, it's essentially the state telling the town that you have to have multifamily housing because there's a train station in Kingston. Mm-hmm. That makes sense, right?
Halifax. Kingston.
Yeah, Kingston and Halifax, yeah. So you need more multifamily housing. What do you think about that? Let's start with Fraser.
So, as I understood it, during the meeting when the state came to present that to the planning board, we were within compliance in the two zoning areas that they were looking at for the MBTA. They did make some recommendations about density, which I believe the planning board have taken on. But there was no major stumbling blocks for the town with what the state were expecting of us.
Yeah, I have a follow-up on this. Okay. Rich?
I'm against it. I don't like the state telling us how we should develop our town and our character of our town. You know, we're rural. We are not the big city. And I understand that the train's coming through and you know, it should develop how it should develop naturally and not, you know, votes taken up on Beacon Hill and dictating how we have our housing down here. We have to, by law, develop the way they want us to. And there was going to be a lawsuit from the Attorney General. So I will rely on the Planning Board, who did a very good job negotiating all the 40Bs that came in, including the golf course and the one going into the center. And that actually will satisfy our 10%. And I'm really proud of the way they did that. So I have some confidence in them and how they're going to handle it.
Tracy?
Could you repeat the question?
Article 12 of the town meeting accommodates the so-called MBTA Communities Act, which mandates multifamily housing in town. How do you feel about that?
I don't love that there's just a blanket decision, that the town doesn't really have a lot of say in that. I think that it's actually going to work out fine for Pembroke, personally. We kind of already have this area set up in a way that it doesn't necessarily actually ever get utilized. I don't think it's a bad idea for housing or affordable housing to go in. But I don't enjoy the state having a blanket statement for all towns. I enjoy that my town is a town, and I would just like a little bit more say in how we set up our town, I guess I would say.
Okay, in the same order, seems to be a theme developing here of how are you going to pay for it. More multifamily housing means more infrastructure, more water, and more schools. So how do you pay for that? Start with Fraser again.
I mean, as you're building a town, you have to plan for the infrastructure growth. And that infrastructure growth comes with also building the businesses that you have around. So you've got to have a plan that engages with everything. I actually believe what we're building right now, the work that's been done by the DPW on the new wells that have been either commissioned or coming online, should deal with the water demand that's going to be there. For now, but we have to look at how we cover these, how we develop.
And just for clarification, Charlie, isn't it true that what they're asking for is something like up to 15 units per acre? Is that what they were asking for, to have that zoned in these towns?
Right. It's
okay. It's very density. Okay. So we're talking just. I like
you
to quantify.
But
it.
I think
that
we're
zoned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's zoned. That's
okay.
Already there. I mean.
All right.
I'm not as aggressively opposed to the state because we're within what they're suggesting and what they're mandating. They're not demanding that we change anything. We're within those guidelines.
Rich,
we could look into over 55 in those areas, and I don't know that they would count or not. It's worth talking about. They don't count. Well, we can
specifically excluded.
Okay. Figures. Over 55 is great for our town. We mm-hmm. don't have any kids in school. We don't do any plowing. We could also look into some multi-use buildings, which means we could put maybe some retail on the first floor and have the second, third, and fourth floors to be multi-family, so to speak. I think we just need to be creative because we are forced to do this. And I think if we get ahead of it and put some designs together, and welcome those designs, I think the townspeople will be more accepting.
And Tracy?
I'm sorry, repeat the question one more time.
You will need more multifamily housing means more of a demand on schools and water and infrastructure. How do you accommodate that?
I think it's going to still come back to trying to generate revenue. I think that's how we get ahead of all of our budgeting issues, is needing to generate more revenue in our town. We're working with a limited budget. Our schools are getting a less and lesser percentage each year at this point. They're struggling to meet their maintenance of effort. So we're in a little bit of a hairy place sometimes, I feel like, and they're really struggling to make that work. So I think the only way to solve this is going to be about generating more revenue for our town. We really need to look into this.
Thank you.
Did you have a follow-up question to that?
I did.
Would you like to ask it?
I did.
Okay, I didn't. I thought you had another one. I was kind of anticipating what you were going to say. I'll save that one for later.
Okay.
Okay. What are your thoughts on the Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee? Let's start with you, Fraser.
There isn't one.
Okay. Do you think there should be one?
No.
Okay. Rich, what are your thoughts on Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion Committee?
I'm not for it. I will never vote for it.
Okay. Tracy, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, this is a loaded question for me, which I assumed. As we know, I was one of the votes who actually wanted the DEI Committee. I did think that it could have been a good idea. I thought it could bring some positive things to our town. It did not go that way, and I changed my vote and actually chose to not have that committee be a part of our town. our town government, I should say, and thought that it would actually work out better if it was a community group. And I still feel that way. I think it was not going to work in the way that I had actually hoped it was going to. So is there
something in the works to have a community group for something like
that? So I know a community group did get together for kind of the same reason, called Uplift Pembroke, and they do some different types of events and activities amongst, but not another town. There was not another town group. That was just the community group.
Okay.
Which I think is great.
Art, question?
Fraser, do you see any future businesses that could come to town that might spark some economic excitement?
Well, I came to town.
Well, there you go.
Felt a good sense of self.
There's, as the other candidates have said, there are plenty of opportunities. There are plenty of sites. Where I am in Corporate Park, there's quite a few open units. We got to work harder at attracting diverse and exciting businesses to come to town.
How do we do that?
I think we work closer with the Chamber of Commerce. We work closer with companies, organizations like the NFIB. We perhaps work closer with the state as well, because they're the ones that are being spoken to by the larger organizations about where they should put businesses and what have you. So we have to have better... I'm not going to say better because I don't know how strong the links are, but I would imagine we would have to work with the state closer at attracting businesses that aren't here at this moment in time.
Okay.
Tracy, any questions?
I can't think of anything, a specific business per se, that I would say should be coming to Pembroke, but I, again, think that the small business bases really are forte. We're a small town, and our community tends to be very loyal to our small businesses when they're here. I have a small business, and the residents are very loyal to me as well. I think the part of my excitement is the community center being built and this master plan. Again, I know I'm talking about master plan again, talking about the center of town and building up that whole area as a true center, a walkable center where people can access, especially the over 55 housing, access restaurants and stores, and again the community center and the town green, and we have all these great things, the council and aging going inside. I think that building up that town center is going to be ideal for inviting businesses in. It looks nice, people are accessing them easily. I think that it would be ideal.
Richard, do you see any future town businesses that could help there?
It's a good question, because I do think we should have a committee to look at all the parcels, because they're all different sizes and they're all in different locations and different proximities to the highway. And we can look at those, identify what they are. I'm okay with hiring a consultant too, to find out what businesses would work there, what businesses are growing now, which ones are needed, and kind of put their hands in our hands and we can put it together. I mean, this is something that we would eventually have for the next 20, 30 years. So, you know, the initial cost of maybe getting a consultant, it wouldn't be a bad idea.
Mr. Mathewson?
Yes.
Questions? Yes. Thank you.
Following up on the DEI discussion, I heard, I think, in the PAC TV interviews, mention of some discord in town, and how do you manage that, let's say? First, do you agree that there is, but the DEI argument showed that there was. The argument that went on for a long time over the community center shows that there is. How do you manage that? Let's start with Rich.
When you say discourse, what do you mean specifically?
I mean people who really disagree on some basic approaches. There are people who felt that the DEI was a great idea and people who were vehemently against it. There are people who thought that the community center should be renovated. There are people who thought it would make a great empty lot. How do you bring those two factions down together, or should you?
Well, both of those were voted at town meeting, and the DEI was voted down, and the community center was voted up. So people do have a voice, and they can come together at town meeting and decide what they think is best for the town.
Fraser.
So I think the roots of the DEI were essentially good. My wife was on the DEI committee because of our son, who's autistic. And we felt, as parents, that the town weren't including him. So there was an inclusion issue. What we weren't aware of was perhaps some of the far left-wing beliefs of DEI. So, you know, when it was removed and taken out of town politics, it was kind of like, okay, but we've got to keep working on inclusion. Keep working on inclusion. Absolutely focus on working on inclusion. Be inclusive. Right now, there is, you know, we thought this was all over. It's not necessarily all over, because the people who were anti-DEI are now pushing that this is an issue.
It's difficult, right? So I feel like DEI definitely brought that pretty far out into the light, that there was this, diversity is the wrong word, unhappiness with two different groups, very unhappy with one another. I think, I feel like a lot of, and regardless of DEI, other situations bring this out as well, and it's just been a lot, I feel like, in the last couple of years, more than it was in the past. And I feel like a lot of it is education and conversations, not me or someone trying to educate you into deciding that you need to agree with me, but just having conversations. You know, this is what, like with the DEI, I had a certain thought process on how that would go, and it's not how it went, and I admit it didn't go the way I want, but let me at least talk to you about, like, this is what I wanted. So that there's not assumptions on what other people think. And I think a lot of times when these conversations take place off of Facebook and Pembroke Connect, a lot of people find that, you know, we might not agree, but we can get down to, you know, we're residents and neighbors, and it's okay that we don't agree. There's always going to be, I think, some we can't get there kind of thing. But I think that in general, we can find connections when we're in person and off social media.
First one to get the bell.
Sorry, it's never me either.
I'm marking your chart here. Tell me, in your own words, what do you think the true mission of the Select Board is? Are you something that reflects national politics? Is it just to decide the budget in town? Are you setting some kind of social policy? What does the Select Board do? What's the mission, Fraser?
It's interesting. So I don't believe it's a political group of, obviously people have their own political, but it's not a political group. And I think that's one of the issues from the previous question, that there was too much politics back and forward related to far right or far left politics. The town has to be governed. It has to be managed. There has to be governance. And that's one of the reasons why I'm running, is because I have that skill set. I've got 40 years of running companies, managing companies, sitting on boards, and having that corporate governance that I believe the town requires.
Okay. Rich, what do you think what is the job of the Select Board in Pembroke? What's their mission?
The mission is to guide the town to the future, keeping in mind of taxpayers' funds. You know, every decision that needs to be made is this in the best interest of the Pembroke taxpayer? And, you know, sometimes there are some great projects that come up and they sound nice, but you just can't squeeze the seniors out of town. So you have to make those kind of decisions. I'm always mindful of that. So it's budgets as well, forecasting budgets, you know, we didn't use our snow money this year, so how should we look at that? Should we invest that in some more vehicles for the DPW and keep that in place? Those are the kind of decisions that are made in the thought process.
Okay. Tracy, what do you think? What's the main mission of the Select Board in Pembroke?
Well, our mission is to set policies and to be sure that those policies are being followed, and to manage or supervise the town manager, who then manages our day-to-day operations. Those are our sole responsibilities. Also, of course, dealing with the budget along with town manager. I also feel that strongly that we're here to represent our town, and that should be regardless of politics or differing of opinion or anything.
Okay. Thank you. Art, questions for the candidates?
Yeah. What's your favorite thing in Pembroke, Tracy? Yeah, anything.
Lord, that's a hard one. I guess I would say my favorite thing about Pembroke is the small town atmosphere. I like all of our small events, or they're not that small, but our events that, you know, you run into everybody that you know. I like when I go to CVS that I bump into five people who I know from around town, and we can have conversations about our kids and what's going on in their lives. I really enjoy the small town feel of our community, and I think that's why most people enjoy Pembroke.
I have to say the people, you know, just going door to door, and some of the concerns people had were, you know, some of these people, their kids have already grown, and they're still worried about the kids in school, and that just tells you a lot about the pride in this town. And they all... Even people that would disagree with maybe something I had said, we always found common ground somewhere, right on the doorstep. And we always left with a smile and a handshake, and I just, that's one of the most impressionable things that we've seen, I've seen in this campaign.
Fraser?
Depends on the season. I'm pretty partial to Dairy Twist. But no, I have, getting out there, I haven't necessarily focused on door-to-door. I focus more on the groups, and I've been impressed with how many groups we actually have in the town and how they all come together as individuals, like the Dolmen Clubs or the Council of the Aging. I mean, they're phenomenal groups of people. And I've got new friends. I've met new people. So I've really enjoyed the community in this town. So, and Dairy Twist.
I was going to save this for lightning round, but we are doing a lightning round.
Yes, right? We are, but yeah. Not yet.
Yeah. Well, there was some mention of social media. What is your news source, Tracy?
I do spend a lot of time on social media, which isn't always the best place to be, but unfortunately that is where the majority of information seems to be posted. I feel like direct email is actually better than social media for whatever your source of information is. Should I say WATD too?
Yes, you should.
And WATD. PAC TV.
You're listening to you right now.
And also PAC TV, actually. PAC TV is another.
Rich?
It's pretty vast. Podcasts, various news channels, radio, AM radio. You know, news can be sports, radio. I'm pretty versatile. I could listen to... four or five different sources a day, just because I like to get different views.
Fraser.
You're talking specifically about the town, correct? Or just in general about news?
Just leaving it open-ended.
Okay,
just
so...
I want you to bare your soul. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
I do a lot of channel hopping because I can't trust one source, to be quite frank with you. I've, with relation to the town... I've been specifically motivated by meeting all these different groups, and I believe it's something I'm going to continue doing, whether I win, lose, or draw. It's fascinating, the data points that you get. But no, when it comes to general news, I mean, I'm getting emails, I'm reading the news, either on my phone or on my laptop. And I travel a lot, so when I'm traveling, I always get the newspaper in the local country that I'm in, and I read the newspaper, and it's fascinating what we don't hear, what we don't get to see.
Okay. Let's go to the lightning round now. This is our favorite part because we find no one running for office can answer these questions the way I'm asking. It's either a yes or no without a big, long explanation, or one or two sentences tops, and we'll ask you what kind of an answer do we want. I'm going to start with my traditional question, which I ask at every forum. I know you know what's coming, Charles. Plymouth County government, stay or go? Stay or go, Fraser Townley.
Stay.
Rich.
Study it.
Okay.
Stay.
Stay. Okay. Charles.
What is your favorite bad habit? It has to be your habit. It has to be a bad habit. It has to be your favorite. Fraser.
Real answer.
My favorite?
Yes.
Your favorite bad habit that's yours.
Having a drink?
Rich. Ice cream.
Ice cream.
Hmm. Tracy.
Eating.
Okay.
Do you think that the town is in perfect financial, not perfect, and good financial setup for the future?
Yes or no?
Yes or no.
Okay, yes or no?
That's a hard
yes
one.
Yes or no? Right.
Yes, yes.
Okay, Rich?
In some sense.
Okay, yes or no? Okay.
Yes.
Fraser, okay. Would you support pot shops in Pembroke? Yes or no?
No.
No? That's Fraser?
No.
Rich?
Yes.
Okay, Tracy, another question?
Why would you support pot shops in town?
Two sentences.
They bring revenue. We have a perfect area to place them, and okay. I don't find them any different than a liquor store.
Rich?
Where it's zoned, it's already saturated. It wouldn't generate a lot of it.
Okay. Fraser?
Just not a fan.
Okay. We're going to go to closing statements. We just have a couple. We're going to reverse the order that we started with, so we're going to begin with a closing statement with Fraser Townley. 1 minute.
I was at an event earlier this month, and I was challenged by residents who didn't want to speak to me for no reason, for no other reason other than they didn't trust anyone who wanted to be on the select board. I must have had a motive, and that motive must have been self-serving. The easiest course of action would have been for me to move on and engage with someone else, but I chose not to. I chose to respond to their concerns and lay out what I stood for, which is, I have a successful business which does not benefit from my seat on the board. My altruistic motives come from a sense of civic duty and a very personal desire to give back to the town and country that has welcomed me and I have called home for over 20 years. That I believe my 40 years of corporate leadership give me the management skills needed to be an effective member of the select board, and that I refuse to allow extreme ideology to cloud my vision. To my delight, each skeptic became supporters of mine, as I hope you will do as well. I want to be elected to the select board to focus on the safety and prosperity of this town so that we may lead our best lives.
Thank you very much. That was Fraser Townley. Now let's go closing statement, Richard Flynn.
If the safety building passes at the election, we're going to have over $80 million in concurrent construction. What I bring to the table is I have over 35 years of construction management. I'm going to be heavily involved in both the community center and the public safety building to make sure that they come in on time, on budget, and let all of the townspeople know the construction and how it's going on along. You know, I'm a small business owner, too. I've really learned how to watch every nickel. And as a taxpayer, I understand where the money comes from. And as a parent, I want the best for our kids as far as education and the future character of our town. I would really appreciate your vote May 13th.
Okay. Closing statement, Tracy.
Thank you. I would just like to remind everyone that we have a number of important issues coming up: the completion of the community center and council on aging, the possibility of a public safety building, multiple empty buildings around town, and a DPW building that is in need of replacement. Water is a hot topic and needs further attention and research. Pending town meeting, there is a possibility of creating a committee to research joining SocioVotech, which is a committee I would personally like to be on. Communication can always use improvement, but I have worked hard to build up communication and collaborations between our town government, town employees, boards, and committees, and most importantly, our residents. I have no agenda outside the desire to serve my community in the best way I know how. I offer an open-minded, thoughtful vote, solid communication, transparency, and the willingness to work with and listen to all of our residents, regardless of politics or differing opinions.
Thank you very much. That was Tracy Marino. You've been listening to the candidates for Pembroke Select Board. Tracy Marino, Richard Flynn, Fraser Townley. The election is May 13th. Now, this entire forum is going to be up on the WATD website, 959WATD.com. You'll hear selected cuts tomorrow morning. As we always tell people, thank you for joining us, Pembroke Town News.
Thank you.
Charles Mathewson, our engineer, Larry Nelson, our timer, Lenny Rowe. Get out and vote. The polls are open from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. on the 13th, because if you don't vote, you don't have a voice. You're listening to 95.9 WATD.
WATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. The South Shore's first choice for live team coverage of breaking news, emergency traffic, and severe weather. WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD.